Whether you're buying a new car, a used car, or refinancing your current car, FedChoice Federal Credit Union could help save you money. FedChoice makes buying a car so easy that you can do everything right from your smartphone or on a computer. Become a member today and you can take advantage of their great rates and financing options. Find out more at FedChoice.org. That's FedChoice.org. Membership open to federal employees, including contractors and their families. FedChoice Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
So this is the very first time I've ever done a podcast, and it is focusing on a topic that is near and dear to my heart, which is faith. We all need a lot of faith.
Sure.
And I thought it would be appropriate to have you all as my very, very first guests. Bishop Alfred Owens and co-pastor Susie C. Owens from Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church. That is the church that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And so welcome.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Thank you for coming. So I just want to dive right into it. Okay. You know, faith is something that is very important. It's a topic that a lot of people maybe don't understand, especially if you didn't grow up in the church. And so I want to hear from you. How do you inspire people or really explain faith to people who don't have that baseline, didn't grow up believing?
Well, you try to simplify it for those persons and make it as easy for them to comprehend as possible. I can give you the best example. Our church was located when we first moved on Rhode Island Avenue in a very impoverished area, and people would just drop in and from the neighborhood. And I remember after one Sunday service, one of the members said to me, "Do you have any idea who joined the church and gave their life to God today?" And I said, "No." And the member said, "It was the neighborhood numbers runner. He was the gambler of the neighborhood. And Bishop, he joined Calvary and gave his life to the Lord." And the next Sunday, she pointed him out to me. And he started attending my Wednesday night Bible study. I was teaching on faith. And he was so interested. First time in church, first time in Bible study. And the second night he lifted his hand and he said, "Bishop, this faith thing, I just don't understand it. Can you help me understand it a little more?" And I said, knowing his background, I said, "Do you know about risk?" He said, "Risk, like taking a chance?" I said, "Yeah, risk." He said, "Oh, I know about risk." I said, "Well, the scripture says faith is the evidence of things hoped for." I said, "Substitute faith for risk. Risk is the evidence of things hoped for. It really means you step out on nothing, believing you're going to land on something." And that was the best example I gave him that he can understand it. It's a belief system.
What are different ways, Co-Pastor, that people can really seek spiritual well-being?
There are many different ways. I think one of the ways is through the experiences that we have in life. And each experience should bring us to a point of some type of recollection, and knowing that we can get through whatever it is we can get through. For me, I have a simple definition of faith. And faith for me is working with God's plan for your life with limited information. Because God doesn't tell us everything. Mm-hmm. He gives us enough to start the journey. And then when we get halfway through, he gives us a little more so that we can finish the journey. So it's working with God's plan and purpose for your life. Coming to that destiny place with a little information.
In recent weeks, recent days, really, we've heard a lot about America needs to heal. Healing in America. How important it is for healing in our country. What does that mean? How does that happen?
Well, it happens, first of all, through prayer. I mean, the Bible says very emphatically in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name," and that's Christians, "if Christians would humble themselves, pray, and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways," God said he would hear from heaven. He would hear our prayers, and he would heal the land. Mm-hmm. And there's no healing unless we all center around our faith and belief in God.
Mm-hmm. How do you build your faith?
I think you build your faith looking at where you've been, where you are, and where you want to go. mm-hmm. and then petitioning.
We have to say that again. Where you've been,
where you are,
and where you want to go.
And where you
That's important.
Go. Yeah. And then petitioning God mm-hmm. for ways and paths that will get you to that final destiny. So I think it's one step at a time, one experience at a time, one day at a time. And the more you build upon that system of belief like Bishop talked about, then you can increase and enlarge your faith. There's no one way to get there. Mm-hmm. It's how you perceive who you are, your relationship with God, mm-hmm. and then building upon that.
And you know, the scripture says in Romans 12:3, every man, every woman mm-hmm. has been given a measure of faith.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we're all born with faith. We mm-hmm. don't call it that. Mm-hmm. Even I take the example of babies when they're born.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody tells them to crawl before you walk.
Mm-hmm.
But they believe that they it's something in them. Mm-hmm. That's that measure of faith mm-hmm. that we grow in, even if we don't call it faith. And they crawl, and then they start pulling up, and then they're walking. The fact that we're sitting in these chairs today mm-hmm. and did not come feeling them to see mm-hmm. if they would hold us up, mm-hmm. we just automatically, that's a type of faith. Mm-hmm. We just automatically sat down.
How do people stay inspired, especially in these days? How do you stay inspired? There's so much heaviness and negativity sure. and just different circumstances that can be very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. How do you stay inspired?
You want to take?
Well, you can piggyback
okay.
on it. Of course, your first inspiration is God. God has to, you know, inspire you, and waking up every morning is a type of inspiration mm-hmm. because so many people lay down at night and don't wake up in the morning. So waking up in the morning inspires you and your relationship with God. But my family inspires me. You know, now that I'm in my 70s, I really enjoy being a grandfather. And they inspire me so much. My wife, after 46 years of marriage, still inspires me. So you have to take inspiration intuitively and grab a hold of it. Whatever inspires you, build upon that.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a day when there's so much evil in the world and so much negativity. You really have to inspire yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to encourage yourself.
Mm-hmm. I like that old hymn that says, "Great is God's faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Mm-hmm.
All I have ever needed, your hands have provided.
Mm-hmm.
Great is God's faithfulness." So I think when we just look within those kinds of situations, our own mindsets, look at what we've achieved already and know that there's more for us to achieve,
mm-hmm.
then those kind of things can bring us to areas and arenas of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so faith for each of us is different. It's how you perceive who you are, where
mm-hmm.
you are,
mm-hmm.
where you want to go, and how God is going to help you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Because God, the Bible teaches us that God is the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter where your faith is, he's going to perfect that,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to inspire that.
Less people are attending church these days compared to 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, church was as vital of a part of our life as school
mm-hmm.
or work. Why?
Well, you know, because we're pastors, mm-hmm. I have to go to the Bible first. And the Bible says, in this time of life, in these last
Jesus.
Days, the Bible
yeah.
Refers to it as the last days. In these last days, many shall depart from the faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's blatantly in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
They will leave the faith for whatever reasons.
Absolutely.
People have more options now
right.
than they've ever had
mm-hmm.
to miss church.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They have so many things that they can do. People are making more money now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have money, you have options.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there was a time that people ran the church because there were no cruises that they could afford. There were no vacations that they could afford. So
right.
people, they pick and choose and decide what they want to be a part of. Would mm-hmm. you agree with that?
I would agree. And I would also say social media
mm-hmm.
has a lot to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
People can stream.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to come to a church.
I'm guilty of that.
And they can get the same information. They can receive the same sermon,
mm-hmm.
dialogue and all like that. Of course, you can't get quite the same experience.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
But social media has a lot to do with that, and technology. Mm-hmm. So we weren't privy to that 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so, again, those kinds of things have added to the decline in church.
So you brought up an interesting point. Technology, I think it has helped the church where you can expand and reach an audience that maybe you wouldn't typically reach. But then it also has a drawback mm-hmm. because it gives... It's like, oh, it's raining outside.
Yeah, right.
I'll watch it online. Right. I can watch online. And I think I and probably so many other people have done that. And then you kind of get into this mode where all of a sudden, when's the last time I physically went in the house of the Lord? Yeah. And so I think, you know, it has its pros and it also has its cons.
Sure. And there's something you get about actually being in the place. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when I got sick for a period of time, I knew how easy it was to get hooked on it, just streaming. But there's still that assembling together that you really don't get when you're at home.
Yeah, you miss certain vibes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. So now, you know, it's 2018. Mm-hmm. People do have a lot of options. How do you reach people who don't believe? Mm-hmm. Who just don't believe for whatever reason? Because I don't think it's the believers that you necessarily have to worry about. It's the people who don't believe.
Yeah, I think the main thing is putting the gospel of faith before them. You can, by being an example yourself. You cannot make people change mm-hmm. or believe. Mm-hmm. But if you have certain principles, I think putting those principles, especially family members and fellow employees, putting that example by being an example of faith yourself and testifying to those many ways that your belief system has brought you through.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that we've learned to do is become more social justice orientated. And so our church has those kinds of programs that we try to reach people at whatever point of their need. And there comes a time in all of our lives when we exhaust our own resources and we have to look without ourselves, come out of ourselves and say, where can we find this help? Where something has to inspire me. Something has to make me feel like I can go on. Mm-hmm. And our church mm-hmm. has built those kind of programs so that we can help people. And I think when people come to a place and find help, find love, find warmth, they're going to return.
Let's talk about... all the ministries and all the great work that Calvary is doing. Once upon a time, you know, at churches, you had the choir music ministry and the usher, you know, ministry and maybe a nurse ministry. And that was it. And now you have, you know, so many important ministries. I know that, you know, Calvary does so much for young mothers and, you know, people that are imprisoned and people that have drug addictions and people who need work. Tell us about how important that is in terms of really uplifting the community.
Well, when we started the ministry years ago, I knew that we had to go outside of the four walls of the church.
Absolutely.
And that's why we've remained in the inner city mm-hmm. community of Washington, D.C., and started so many ministries just based upon the needs in the neighborhood.
Right.
We were the first in the city to start a recognized HIV/AIDS ministry because people were dying.
Mm-hmm.
We were among the first to start an alcohol and drug abuse ministry.
Mm-hmm.
One of my latest visions, if I can toot my own horn, was starting the ministry called Sons. And that ministry focuses on young men, young boys from the ages of 3 to 14 who only are being raised by a single mother.
Mm.
So we take mm-hmm. them to different outings. We teach them how to be young men, how to table manners, and how to pull the chair out for the young lady. So that's one of my, and so many mothers who are raising these boys by themselves has mm-hmm. applauded us for that. So it really comes from a need, looking mm-hmm. in the community, what are the needs, and then filling those from prison ministry, all of that.
Mm-hmm. I love our scholarship program
mm-hmm.
where we help young people matriculate into higher education mm-hmm. and give them scholarships and book money and mm-hmm. care packages.
Yeah.
And all those kinds of things. So, again, like Bishop said, we try to meet the needs within the community and then within our own congregants.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it helps when you do that, and it grows the church. And at some point, they do come back. And then those talents and abilities and gifts that they have learned and then that come naturally, they filter back into the church.
You brought up a really important point, which is that, you know, there's a rule of thought that at some point in life, you go back to where you started. Mm-hmm. It's cyclical, and that if the foundation is there, you will come back to
sure.
it. People are seeking something. Mm-hmm. They're seeking some type of spiritual well-being, spiritual awareness, and they are seeking it in all different places. Why do you think that is?
Because they don't know where to find it. So,
if at first you don't succeed, yeah, you find somewhere else to try.
And it's good to continue to seek.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to continue to seek. And the Bible says, and I'm sorry the pastoral is coming out, but the Bible says, if you hunger and thirst after being right or wanting to do right, you will be filled.
Mm-hmm.
So seeking is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Because you will find
mm-hmm.
if you are sincere with it, especially if you want to increase your faith or be led to God.
Mm-hmm.
Seeking is not a bad thing.
Mm-mm. And I think that there's a part of us, according to Scripture, that we hunger for something spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
We hunger for something that we cannot buy or we cannot pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a part in every one of us. And we may not say, oh, no, I'm not in me. Yes, there is. There is something in you that will pull you to a spiritual being. And so whether you call him God or Adonai or El Shaddai or Yahweh, whatever you want to call him, there is that longing for that spirit that created you.
Mm-hmm.
We did not create ourselves. And so if we look at the Bible story, Adam lay dormant until God breathed into his nostrils breath of life. That breath of life remains in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes the time when we'll seek those kinds of things, like Bishop said, to bring us to that awareness.
The country is very divided right now. There's a lot of polarizing issues that are at the forefront. Again, people have spoke about the country needing to heal. What role does the church play in all of that? You mentioned that social injustice or social justice mm-hmm. has now become a part of ministry. What role does the church play in uniting mm-hmm. the country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we still have to speak power to truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, we cannot backslide or get away from the real issues of life. But I really believe that part of the problem in the world today is how our children are being raised.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe charity begins mm-hmm. in the home. I believe that is the foundation. Whether you were raised by a single mother like me and my siblings, or a family as my wife with mother and father there were some foundations there
mm-hmm.
that made the home safe and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But now our homes are so divided.
Mm.
So if the homes are divided, your nation is going to be divided. If that family structure is not there, I really believe it affects our entire society.
I agree. And the other thing I think is love.
Mm-hmm.
And love can be perpetuated in so many ways. And so one thing I think that can bring us together is when we feel loved, when we feel honored, and when we feel respected.
Mm-hmm.
If any one of those goes too far to the left,
mm-hmm.
don't come back to the center,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to be in trouble. Our nation needs to find ways to love, to honor, and to respect.
Okay, one last word. Mm-hmm. Final food for thought. You can go first, Bishop. The good word.
My good word is for your entire audience, one of the greatest benedictions in the Bible out of the book of Deuteronomy.
Yes.
May the Lord bless you.
Yes.
And may the Lord keep you.
Yes.
And may the Lord cause his face
yes.
to shine upon you. And may the Lord give you peace
yes.
now and forevermore.
Yes. I have to ditto that. You can't get any better than that.
You can't top that. You can't top that. Thank you both so much. I'm so honored that you're here with me. This is the very first episode of our podcast on faith, mm-hmm. which is so, so important. And I'm just very honored that my bosses had this suggestion and thought I'd be good for it, and that you guys were willing to join us to discuss it.
Yeah, and you, Fox News is on the cutting edge because mm-hmm. who else is talking about faith in a time like this with such a vast audience? So mm-hmm. you're on the cutting edge, mm-hmm. and I'm so glad you were chosen to interview us being raised at Great American Calvary Holy Church.
Thank you. We certainly wish you much success.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you both, Bishop and co-pastor. Thank you. Yeah.